From the renterswarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Brought to you by AcceptanceAppliance.com. Today's Blitz Rewind starts now.
On ESPN.com, it basically had the breakdown of every playoff team and what their flaws were. Would you like to hear what they have to say about your Texans? Who they give a 0.5% chance of winning the Super Bowl. Says by most advanced metrics, the Texans are one of the worst playoff teams in recent history. They finished 29th in DVOA, falling between the Rams and the 49ers. Says they won just two games against teams with a winning record. The one thing it points out that they're really good at is third down defense, and they're really good at stopping the pass.
I think the Texans as a whole are decent.
They're mediocre. Yeah. They're very average. They do some things well, and they do a lot of things not so well.
But they're drafting, non-first round drafting. Has not been ideal. You also have to weigh in. They hit on their first round picks at a higher rate than most teams in the NFL do, at least over the last 10 years, I would bet.
Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on the Blitz. Hour number three, 713-780-ESPN is your number, 713-780-3776. You can also hit us up on the Blitz Facebook page. Find the Blitz, click like, you're good to go. There's also Twitter, at Fred Fowler, at A.J. is the real, at John Snow with a zero, add Degenerates 975. You can also text the show at 713-780-3776. And I see what John did there because he wanted to just jump right into these first round ratings that he sent us. And they're smiling. I know you did that. It's very, very well thought out. Very clever. You get points for that. So basically what they did, they've got one of their long explanations of how they came up with this.
Which but, you don't care about.
Right. Basically, it's how well the players you drafted did in relation to players picked in the same spot, right?
Okay.
So the number one team on their list was the Carolina Panthers. And how far does this go back?
I have 10 years. I have it pulled up here. Hold
it's
on.
10 years.
Yeah, okay.
Biggest hit, Cam Newton, who was MVP last year, so obviously his numbers are up there. Jeff Otah was their biggest miss.
I would actually say Luke Kuechly was probably their biggest hit.
I would agree.
They didn't take him number one overall.
But some of the guys they took that were big pluses, Newton, Luke Kuechly, and John Beeson.
Yeah.
Pretty good group there.
Star Lutalele, too, is pretty high on their list, I would guess.
Texans, number two on the list.
I would argue them number one, I think.
Well, and it says biggest hit, J.J. Watt, but it says biggest miss, Jadeveon Clowney. I don't think you can call him a miss anymore.
I don't think so either.
And but it says, based on this methodology, Watt has been the most valuable first-round pick in the past 25 seasons. Now, that'll go down because of this year. But he produced a 42 AV above expectations in his first four seasons. And no player in NFL history had more than through five seasons than him. And Ravens, number three on the list.
I love it. The Ravens, it says biggest miss, Jimmy Smith.
Yeah.
Who, really?
Well, this is before this season. Okay. Jimmy Smith was not very good until this year. He's kind of like Kareem Jackson.
It took him a while.
He sucked for a while, and then he got good.
But, I mean, Matt Elam has really done – he played a year and a half and has barely gotten back on the field. They drafted Michael Oher in the first round, who, whatever you think of him now, that dude sucked when he was in Baltimore.
But he's a Hollywood star, AJ.
That's true.
Don't you talk about that woman, sir.
You're right. All right.
Patriots 4. Their biggest hit, Nate Solder. Biggest miss, Dominique Easley.
Yeah, they don't miss very often, but they also trade out of that first round a lot.
Solder, Chandler Jones, Devin McCourty, Gerard Mayo, all recent first round picks. Minnesota at number five, which biggest hit, Adrian Peterson. Biggest miss, Sharif Floyd.
Yeah,
but they're pretty good. I've liked their picks. Pittsburgh is six. Boy, you're going way back. Here's a name going all the way back to 2006. The biggest hit, Santonio Holmes.
Oh, boy.
Biggest miss, Jarvis Jones.
Okay.
Atlanta, seven. Biggest hit, Matt Ryan. Biggest miss, Pariah Jerry.
Oh, he was not good.
But they also drafted Julio Jones, Vic Beasley, Jake Matthews, Desmond Trufant. I think they should be higher than this.
I'm with you.
The Colts are at number eight, believe it or not.
That's ridiculous.
Biggest hit, Joseph Addai. If that's your biggest hit, you are not eighth on this list.
No, your biggest hit was Andrew Luck.
Yeah, biggest miss, Jerry Hughes, which...
He was a miss for them.
Turned out to be a good player elsewhere. That happens.
I mean, you could go through Anthony Costanzo, Donald Brown, Anthony Gonzalez. I mean, they took a lot of, they've made a lot of bad
choices.
And then
traded a first round pick for Trent Richardson.
Yeah. Oh, Kobe Fleener was in the first round, wasn't he?
Fleener was second round. He was in the first rounder. Bjorn Werner is a first rounder.
These guys should not be this high.
No, that's
the Falcons should be much higher than seven too. By the way,
that's just wrong. That part of the list is wrong. But everybody gets them wrong.
That's right. That's okay. Nobody has to be right all the time.
Perfect.
Well, pretty close. But the Jets at 9, biggest hit Darrell Revis, biggest miss Vernon Golston.
Vernon Golston was a pretty big miss. They have had some good ones.
Muhammad Wilkerson, Nick Mangold,
DeBrickashaw,
Sheldon Richardson. But some of those are going way back though and aren't in the league anymore either.
Right.
Number 10, Dallas. I'm going to say maybe a little low.
You think a little low?
Maybe Tyron Smith was their biggest hit. Now that doesn't count this year, where I think Zeke Elliott exceeded expectations. But Travis Frederick, Tyron Smith, Zach Martin, you built an entire offensive line in the first round. Bobby Carpenter was their biggest miss.
Morris Claiborne is a pretty big miss.
Yeah, I would argue Morris Claiborne's the bigger miss.
I would.
They gave up a lot, didn't they?
Yeah, he was in the top almost, I don't know, like six or seven. Felix Jones was also a first-round pick for them. Let's not forget.
Yeah.
Our Arkansas running back, Felix Jones, that Jerry had to have. And it didn't work out. Bobby Carpenter was a pretty bad pick.
He was a beautiful man. It just didn't happen. Redskins. I would say, though, over the last 5 years, I'll take the Cowboys.
Yeah.
You're going back over 10. Redskins are 11. Biggest hit, Ryan Kerrigan. Biggest miss, LaRon Landry. What about Bob? What about Bob Griffin?
Yeah, that's a pretty big miss.
Yeah, and they traded a whole bunch of other stuff.
Especially what they gave for it.
Titans. See, this is the thing. Their biggest hit, Chris Johnson. Well, he's not even there anymore. Biggest miss, Jake Locker, also not there anymore.
For the organization, I mean.
Yeah, Marcus Mariota, obviously, is, I think, a positive. Okay.
I think we're just getting to a point where a lot of teams miss in the first round.
Yeah. Well, I'll give you the misses on some of these other teams. Like the Lions, I'll just do biggest hit and biggest miss. Ndamukong Suh, biggest hit. Biggest miss, Nick Fairley.
I think of the Lions as a team that have done well in the first round because they had Calvin Johnson,
but they
Matt
also
Stafford.
Had Mike Williams, Charles Rogers.
Yeah, but that's outside of 10 years. That's a long time ago. Williams, Charles Rogers, like 2003.
Yeah, I guess so.
But they had Calvin Johnson, Matt Stafford, Ndamukong Suh, Ziggy Ansah. They've had some real successes with their first round picks. I mean, I guess they've had some misses, too.
Nick Fairley is the one.
Nick Fairley's pretty bad. I don't know if Nick Fairley's... I mean, if that's your worst miss...
Yeah, he was okay. He wasn't awful. New Orleans Saints, biggest hit, Cameron Jordan. Biggest miss, Patrick Robinson. I might argue Brandon Cooks is a bigger hit.
But, although, it depends on when this article was wrote.
Yeah. Reggie Bush, Robert Meacham. So, worst picks seem to come on the defensive side of the ball, which is what they always do. 49ers, biggest hit, Patrick Willis. Biggest miss, A.J. Jenkins. You miss on the 30th pick with a wide receiver. That's not all that uncommon, unfortunately.
No.
Tampa, biggest hit, Josh Freeman.
Oh, boy.
Biggest miss, Adrian Claiborne. I'm going to go with maybe Mike Evans or Jameis Winston would be a bigger hit than Josh Freeman. My thought. Denver Broncos, biggest hit, Von Miller. Biggest miss, Jarvis Moss. Miller, okay. Demaryius Thomas, Sylvester Williams were all first-round picks. Wasn't Tebow a first-round pick in that?
He was.
Kansas City, biggest hit, Dontari Poe. Biggest miss, Jonathan Baldwin.
Jonathan Baldwin did not work out.
But they've also had Marcus Peters, Eric Berry. But they've had a pretty good run, too. I think that might be a little low. New York Giants, biggest hit. All right, I'm going to disagree with this one, too. Hakeem Nicks.
There's a guy named Odell Beckham and a guy named Jason Pierre-Paul that I would guess would argue that
way over
as
him.
Well.
Biggest miss, David Wilson.
I won't argue that.
No, but and Prince Amukamara had a pretty good run with them before he left. I mean, that wasn't like he was a bust. They also drafted Aaron Ross and Kenny Phillips.
Kenny Phillips maybe not so much of a – it didn't work out as well.
No. L.A. Rams – which you would, I would have thought they'd be a little higher. Aaron Donald, biggest hit. Jason Smith, biggest miss.
That's a big miss.
Todd Gurley, Aaron Donald. I thought they had some good guys, but they also missed on Greg Robinson. Yeah, okay. Seattle's 21st.
Biggest, that's surprising to me.
It is. Biggest hit, Earl Thomas. Biggest miss, Aaron Curry. But it says most of their draft success has come in the later rounds where they got Russell Wilson, true. Richard Sherman. Sherman was fifth. Cam Chancellor was fifth.
They do dominate those middle rounds.
Miami, 22. I might argue that their biggest hit is Ryan Tannehill. If that's the case, that's probably why you're 22.
22 is not great.
Biggest miss, Deion Jordan. Arizona, 23. Biggest hit, Pat Peterson. Biggest miss, Jonathan Cooper. San Diego, 24. Biggest hit, Ryan Matthews. No longer with him. Biggest miss, Larry English. They haven't really gotten... They've kind of... DJ Fluker's been okay for them, but they haven't had a lot of good first-round picks.
Yeah, you're getting down to the teams. These are it's struggling.
Yeah, Cincinnati, biggest hit, A.J. Green. They say biggest miss, Andre Smith. I think Andre Smith was a pretty solid player for him. Maybe not a star, but he was a good player.
Yeah, I don't think I'd go... I don't think I'd put that evil on him either.
Yeah.
You remember Keith Rivers?
Yeah.
That might... He went in the top 10.
Yeah.
And did nothing. I'll take Andre Smith over Keith Rivers. Although they took an offensive, like a guard a couple years ago.
Yeah.
A Wisconsin lineman. I don't remember his name, but I don't think he's done anything either.
Bears, biggest hit, Kyle Long. Biggest miss, Shea McClellan.
Okay.
That seems fair. Green Bay, biggest hit, Clay Matthews. Biggest miss, Justin Harrell.
See, that's what's funny is, you know, Green Bay is the team that they're almost their entire roster is built on guys that they drafted.
Yeah, but it's almost all guys at late round value.
Yeah.
28, Philadelphia. Biggest hit, Fletcher Cox. Biggest miss, Brandon Graham.
Oh, Fletcher Cox is your biggest hit?
Mm.
Okay.
Cleveland, 29, no shocker. Although, Cleveland's actually had, they took Manziel, Whedon, and Quinn. Let's not forget that. Biggest hit, Joe Thomas, and they've got Brady Quinn as the biggest miss.
I'd say Manziel's, I mean... Brady Quinn gave that organization more than Johnny Football did.
Yeah, neither one of them did much, though. Buffalo, biggest hit, Marcell Dareus. Biggest miss. This guy will be forever labeled as one of those complete failures, Aaron Maven.
Oh, yeah, he was not good. And they could have had, I think it
was... Was it Arakpo?
Yeah.
Yeah, they could have had Brian Arakpo. Oakland Raiders, 31st. Biggest hit, Khalil Mack. I think this is too low. Amari Cooper. I know they had that horrible stretch before Al Davis died.
Yeah.
But they've been pretty good the last few years. And 32, the Jacksonville Jaguars.
Did we miss the Titans?
No. No, I did the Titans.
Oh, okay.
Jacksonville's biggest hit, Blake Bortles.
Tennessee was 12.
Yeah, Tennessee was 12. Biggest miss, Justin Blackmon. Here's some of the guys that they drafted. Blackmon, Blaine Gabbert, Derek Harvey.
Boy, that's...
And I'm not sure Bortles is a hit. But I tell you what, Ramsey and Dante Fowler, it was hard to judge Dante Fowler because he got hurt last year, but he looked better this year.
I mean, relative to the rest of their list, maybe you do say Bortles is a hit.
Well, now it looks, after this season, it might look like Ramsey is their biggest
hit.
Yeah.
Well, the point of that whole exercise is that the Texans do really well with their first-round picks.
Yeah, I would argue they're the best in the last 10 years.
And ATX says, Lima Swede says, hello, hashtag second rounder. Boy, if we went to second round busts.
Yeah.
Well, that the Texans, not so much. I think McKinney's the only one they've drafted.
Been worth a damn.
And they traded up to get Brandon Harris. You know, Suofilo has not been worth that pick. He's at least turned into a functional guard, but he wasn't worth that.
He's no Derek Carr.
All right, quick break. It's a Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
Listen to your favorite ESPN 97.5 show on the go with the ESPN 97.5 app for iOS or Android. Now back to the Blitz with Fred and AJ.
And we're back on the Blitz. If you want to get in, 713-780-3776. Get to be on the HRNP listener line. How's that? We didn't get a chance to talk about this. The Minnesota firing its football coach on Tuesday, opening up another job here.
So stupid.
Yeah.
They're cheap. They wanted to save some money at the cost of their football program, which I don't understand, because football programs make money for the universities, and the success of the football program determines how much it makes you. I think that's a foolish decision. Short-sighted.
Well, and the reasoning they claim was because he backed the players and when they were angry about the rapists. And
I don't think that's why they did it.
Well, I mean, you're going to have to pay the guys they're talking to here. If they actually hire him, it's going to cost you.
Right. I think that his like what he would have gotten if they cut him now is less than what they would have if they cut him, you know, when everybody else fired their coaches. So they just didn't want to take that penalty.
PJ Fleck met with them yesterday, and Les Miles met with them today.
Oh, well.
I don't think Les is going to be cheaper than him.
No, they're going big time.
So
maybe that's why they're trying to save money. They know they're about to have to pay somebody.
Yeah, I don't know. But I what do you think of Les there? To me, it's one of those places where your career goes to die. But maybe he could have some success there.
Seems like it would be tough to win. But, you know, I think Les is a good coach. Yeah, I think that's a – he's a better coach than I would have ever expected them to get. For me, P.J. Fleck, that's a good step-up job for him.
Yeah.
You know, because I think if P.J. Fleck took a big-time job, he'd be overwhelmed immediately.
Yeah, it seems to be a good step for him.
Yeah.
It also means 7-6 is probably the best he's ever going to do there. But
I think for either of those guys, if they're able to win there, they'll end up going on to somewhere and getting some more money. If Les Miles wins it at Minnesota, big-time programs will be back at Les Miles' door. No doubt. Because Les Miles, his pedigree is good.
If he goes there for 2 years and wins 8 games one of those years,
dude,
then Harbaugh inevitably leaves Michigan.
Yeah, people are into that.
All right, remember, and this came from Lauren the Aggie earlier today. Remember last month we were talking about the date you're most likely to dump your significant other, and it came up as December 11th.
Right.
Well, according to a website, the date people are most likely to start an affair, it's coming up. It's 4 days away.
Okay. Are you interested?
In
not
what?
Starting a new one?
Nah, man, I got enough of those things going on. But apparently, this from Gleeden, which is a dating site for people looking to cheat, which I'm skeptical that it has 3.3 million members, because that Ashley Madison, apparently a lot of their members were fake. But according to this website, user activity increases in the new year. Apparently, the second Sunday is when people do it. So that'll be on January 9th.
Do you have any reasoning, or is that just statistically how it works out?
Well, it says it works out, but it basically says, you know, a lot of people, because it's past the holidays and things of that note. It's just like the people going to the gym for a week here. So everybody decides they're going to do something new in the new year. So that's when it picks it up. But it always increases. It said on Monday, January 11, 2016, the site recorded an increase of registrations of more than 320%.
Okay.
So now you know, January 9th. 713-780.
Make a date with my wife.
Yeah, that's probably the best way to avoid it.
Yeah, avoid trouble.
Yeah.
You know me, I'm never looking for trouble.
I am sometimes. All right. We're going to take a very quick break. Don't go anywhere. It's a Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
So send the pain below where I need it. You used to beg me to.
ESPN 97.5. RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas. This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Brought to you by AcceptanceAppliance.com. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. Hey, we talked about this the other day, and I was telling you there's a lot of national media that are making a case for Harden over Westbrook, mm-hmm. and that it's a real debate. Sam Amick wrote a story on him for USA Today, and I just wanted to read a little excerpt from it for you. It just says, Harden is well on his way to a magical season. Despite Westbrook's historic pace, he could become the only player besides Oscar Robertson to average a triple-double. There's a strong argument to be made that Harden's season so far is better. With averages of 28.4 points, fourth in the NBA, 11.9 assists, first, and 8.2 rebounds, he's, according to basketballreference.com, on pace to join Robertson as the only players to average at least 28, 11, and 8. Which Robertson did three times. So, you know, not quite the triple-double on the rebound, but more points.
I think if that triple-double thing doesn't happen, if Russ doesn't average triple-double over the whole season, the conversation is way more open than it is. If a guy averages a triple-double over the season...
Now, the point he's making, though, is it's not that simple. That Harden is doing is every bit as impressive because of the scoring. That's the point he's
okay.
making.
Well, I guess if that's more impressive, I tend to disagree.
But you're averaging two more rebounds a game. If you average 10, I mean, it sounds awesome to say that. He averaged
two rebounds for a guard is a ton, Fred.
All right.
If James Harden was only getting six boards a game instead of eight, do you think we'd be having the same discussion? No.
No, we wouldn't, but.
I mean, the fact that that's why these two guys are in the conversation they are, because they're fantastic rebounding guards, but. Russell Westbrook is out rebounding DeMarcus Cousins. Think about that. I mean, he's a point guard. It's ridiculous. If he does average the triple double, I think he's almost a lock to win it. I'm not saying that he deserves to win it. I'm saying I think he's a lock to win it. If he doesn't, I think James Harden is the guy who jumps into the conversation.
Well, I think if they both keep going at the pace they're going at, it's going to be really close. Because I said, these are national media guys with votes that are making these cases.
I know, but I could give you a ton of national media guys that'll tell you Russell Westbrook's doing something never been done. I mean, you're looking up all the James Harden stories.
No, I'm looking up all of them, AJ.
Google Russell Westbrook for MVP stories.
I've been looking at everybody's.
Them all year long.
All right.
Have you not?
Yeah, I have been. I'm just telling you that a week ago you're telling me that nobody's saying that Harden's in the mix, and I'm telling you, I'm pulling stories. Yeah, you did. You said that it's Russell Westbrook, and then it's, you know, and it's not close. That's what you were saying.
I do think that, but I think I said.
But
James,
I'm also telling
I still
you,
think James Harden is second. You're acting like I said James Harden's not even.
No,
in a discussion.
But I know what I'm telling you is there's a lot of people that are making a case for him.
Okay, I would say there's more people making a case for Russ Westbrook.
Okay,
which thus goes back to me saying Russ Westbrook's probably number one, and James Harden's probably number two, right?
I'm still saying that they are, but I also think it's a conversation, and there's a lot of people with votes, by the way. I actually look for the guys who I know have votes that are making a case for him at this stage. Do I think it matters in January? No. But if we're going to have the conversation about it.
Do you really think that if a guy averages a triple-double for the season, he won't win the MVP?
I think it's possible, yeah.
I mean, now granted, if somehow the Thunder don't make the playoffs –
Well, see, and that's, and to me, that's a big part of it.
Absolutely. And all bets are
but
off.
But I think they're going to make the playoffs.
I think it's in the West, it's going to be, sounds weird to say, it's almost impossible for them not to make it because...
You know, the bottom of the West this year is
the bottom
awful.
Of the West just doesn't exist. So if somehow, I mean, we're saying if the Thunder somehow magically end up with a losing record at the end of the year, which I don't think they will, especially if Russell Westbrook's averaging a triple-double... then I think it's a different conversation. But if he does that, I think they're going to have a hard time. And I'm not saying that's who I would vote for. I'm saying I think most national media, the first thing they would do is say, oh, he averaged a triple-double. That's ridiculous. That's the MVP. Because it just doesn't happen.
Well, I think my point is there's a lot of people out there who are actually making the case the other way.
I also think it's hilarious.
A lot of national media, which again, I don't know where, which direction. I would vote for Westbrook right now because I think the points matter, the rebounds, and we're talking, I'm not as blown away by two rebounds more game than you are, but yeah, because yeah, I also think Russell Westbrook and James Harden too are both trying to pad the stats a little bit, but yeah, I do think that there's other people out there outside of Houston who are making the case. That's my point.
I don't understand. What am I missing that they're saying that the scoring is
Yeah, I don't.
James Harden. I mean, Russ Westbrook's leading the league.
Yeah,
in
he's
scoring.
Leading the league in scoring, and so I theoretically wouldn't he be doing the same thing?
But maybe I'm missing something. But because he said 11 assists.
Yeah.
So the half assist that he's got on Russ Westbrook is something that only Oscar Robertson's ever done.
Right.
Okay. Well, that seems a bit of a stretch.
But yes and no, but it's just the two rebounds that he has makes it a triple-double. I mean, that's, you know.
But it's a triple-double.
Yeah. I just think it's oversimplifying. It's impressive. It's a great feat. But I don't think you can just blanket statement say he does this, he gets it. I still think LeBron should be in the conversation.
That's another story. I also think it's kind of funny that Steph Curry, look at Steph Curry's numbers this year versus 2 years ago. It's not much different. I think last year what he did was so absurd.
Oh, yeah, it was so through the roof.
That he set his own bar at an unattainable level.
Yeah, I think that was...
So people think that Steph Curry's having a down year, and he's really not.
No, he's not. That's one of those things that I've been seeing a lot of, too. Oh, Steph Curry... No.
No, Steph Curry's still really, really good.
And just what he did last year was probably the best he was ever going
to
do.
And someone said to me, Steph Curry's not even the best player on his team, bro. Okay. And, I mean, I think Kevin Durant's very good, too.
All right. I think you can at least argue that, but I'll still take Steph.
I'll also say Kevin Durant should maybe be in the conversation for MVP as well because what he's doing – In a role that he's unaccustomed to, where his minutes are down, he's not shooting as much. He's still putting up ridiculous numbers. But I still go back to me the most valuable player is LeBron James, and that's where story starts.
Although I think the way Harden's playing and the way the team is playing right now, I could see why people are making a case for him. But it's just I don't. Honestly, so much can happen. He turns an ankle, forget it.
All right.
Westbrook turns an ankle, forget it. Rockets lose 15 in a row, and he's still doing those numbers. I don't think you're in.
And I'll give you one more name, and this is almost I'd say it's probably a non-starter, but I'll throw it out there just because I think it's fair. Kawhi Leonard's averaging 25 points a game and is probably the best defender in the league. That's pretty valuable. You know, you don't. There's not many guys that can boast those types of things.
No, and his name will never show up.
It won't because he plays in San Antonio, and B, being the best defensive player in the league doesn't.
It's not sexy.
It's not.
It's not going to win it for you.
The one thing for James Harden and against Westbrook, I think, is going to be the field goal efficiency. I mean, a lot of Harden's points do come from the line, but boy, shooting almost 45% from the field, whereas Westbrook is shooting 42%.
Yeah.
Steph Curry, getting back to him, he's averaging 24.2 points a game. He's shooting 46.6% from the floor. He's shooting 40 from three.
Yeah.
And
not that good.
last year, and that's the thing you have to look at year to year. Last year was his career year.
Yeah.
He's never going to repeat that. He was amazing beginning to end. And there's no way.
Last year was 2014 Dallas or 2015 Dallas Keuchel.
Yeah,
like it was amazing.
But the fall off. But that's a bad example because Keuchel fell off to bad.
Right. Steph Curry just fell back to being 2014 MVP level instead of 2015 MVP level instead of 2016.
Yeah. This is just every. It's like over a course of a season, sometimes a guy can do this, just like Kobe could go out and score 80 plus in one game, and that was his career game. It happens.
Yeah.
And Curry, I think, had his career season. I don't think he'll ever be that good again, but where he is, pretty damn good.
I was listening on the Joel Blank show on the way in, and they were talking about Eric Gordon being an all-star, which there is, let's face it, there's 0% chance that happens in the Western Conference this year.
But he's been very good for them.
He's been very good.
But all you got to do is look at the guards in the West. It's impossible.
And he's the reality is he's a one-trick pony. And if you say, well, he leads the league in three-pointers made, which he does, and that you can't argue that. But then you say, well, how many shots that aren't threes does he take? How many times do you see him attempting a shot that's not a three, and you just don't?
Speaking of those type of players, the Cavs just acquired Kyle Korver from the Hawks.
Oh, well, there you go. Shoot threes.
They need a J.R. Smith replacement.
Yeah. 41% from three this year, Kyle Korver.
See, yeah. I like additions like that.
What'd they give up for that?
Let me see. I lost a tweet. It's from Woj.
Okay.
Small child? Warm bucket of spit?
Yeah.
Just look it up.
Times are hard times in Atlanta, maybe.
Yeah.
I don't see why. I think they're all right.
I bet there's some contract thing with it where they don't want to pay him at the end of the year.
It does not say for who.
And Atlanta's actually been playing really well lately.
Maybe he's banging a teammate's
could
girlfriend.
Be.
All right. Quick break. It's a Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5.
You are now about to witness the strength of street knowledge.
All right, guys, got to tell you, if you have not had a chance to get out and check out Whitmire's, now's your chance. They're open today until 9 o'clock. They're open tomorrow from 3 until 9. They're open Saturdays from noon until 6. And on Saturdays, you can go take a tour at Whitmire's and enjoy their full range of products. You can see where they make everything when you take the tour. It's fantastic. And the cool thing is, you can go out there and enjoy a few spirits. And if you want to buy a bottle and take it home, you can do that. It's pretty awesome, right? And if you've got a party coming up, bachelor party, maybe you got maybe a birthday party, maybe you just want to do one of these retreats with your business and get everybody away from the office for a while so you can actually act like you like each other. Well, they do private events, and they're fantastic. And they're great people. This is Houston's first distillery, Houston's best distillery. They're Houstonians, they're Blitzers, they're veterans, and they make great, great products. And if you happen to be wandering around your liquor store and you see some of the Single Barrel or the Space City Vodka or any of their fine products, just check them out. But you can go out there and get all of them. And you can't get all of them everywhere else, so just go check it out. Today, till 9 o'clock, they're at 16711 Hollister or at Whitmire's.com. That's Whitmire's.com. All right. Well, I guess that means it's time for us to do Hoffman on Hollywood.
It is. You still watch that show, Sherlock?
I do. The season 4, episode 1 was terrific.
Really?
Okay. Yeah, they whacked a big character.
Okay.
Spoiler alert.
The show has been in a bit of a slump, apparently. And there's people saying that maybe there's overexposure for Benedict Cumberbatch.
And Martin Freeman. They're both huge now. I would say the one-off movie they did last year was not very good.
Okay.
This year was pretty good. It I think it measures up to prior years. So.
Okay, it's down 1.1 million viewers from season 3. So they're, obviously I don't think they're panicking yet. But,
yeah, I thought it was really good. I did.
Okay.
But I can see why both those guys are off doing. And what's kind of cool is they still want to do this show because they love doing it. They don't need to. Benedict Cumberbatch is Doctor Strange.
Right.
Martin Freeman was The Hobbit. They don't need to do this stuff.
Well, he's Doctor Strange now.
Yeah.
I mean.
But that's the thing. He was already playing a bunch of big roles before this.
Yeah.
In that Star Trek movie, he played Khan. He's had some big stuff. It's in 12 Years a Slave.
The Writers Guild of America on Wednesday announced the nominees for its annual WGA Awards. And Deadpool was on the list.
I love it. That was a damn clever, well-written movie.
And now there are, there's, first of all, they've got kind of weird rules where they don't let adapted screenplays in, like under certain circumstances. I don't really understand all of it, but the fact that this is, it's bringing up questions of whether or not the Oscars should nominate superhero movies, or if it's time to open that up to them. Should they have been being more looked at? And particularly going back, I would say it probably goes back to like the Dark Knight trilogy,
yeah,
where the ones they would really look at. But
I honestly, even though it's a different kind of movie, I thought Deadpool was one of the most clever, funny movies that I've seen in years.
Yeah.
It was one of the, and I know it's not the kind of thing the Academy goes for, but it was so well done. All the little things in there too that were just so funny, the little inside jokes. I'm glad to see it get recognized for that.
It does say it was the third superhero movie to be nominated. 2008's The Dark Knight was nominated, and 2015's Guardian of the Galaxies.
Which I also thought was pretty good.
Yeah, those were both nominated as well. But there's a lot of push to see one of those movies get an Oscar.
I'd like to see it nominated. Especially, I don't know why I watched this again today. If Mad Max Fury Road could get nominated, Deadpool's a much better movie than that.
Yeah.
It's not even close. I'm still kind of pissed off at that last year because I thought Straight Outta Compton was a hell of a lot better in that movie, too.
Yeah.
It just to get nominated. But, sorry.
So, there were a lot of Fox News type people, you know, what we call now the alt-right.
Is the worst bleeping phrase
was
ever.
Was very upset about Megyn Kelly leaving Fox News, and she's a sellout and, you know, a libtard now. Guess what job she's apparently going to be taking over at NBC?
What's that?
Billy Bush's old job.
Oh, really?
Yeah, Billy Bush, who was fired for the leaked tape with Donald Trump. Megyn Kelly is being looked at to replace him on the Today Show. It's a slot that's in serious need of some sort of fix. The season to date, today is averaging 4.55 million viewers in its 7 to 9 a.m. time slot and 1.77 news demo viewers. ABC's Good Morning America leads it in total viewers by over 100,000, so they feel like they need to get back in the lead on that thing. So
hey, good for her cashing in.
And yes,
I'm never gonna fault anybody for getting a bunch of money and getting a better gig.
Yep.
And as much as, no matter what you believe, that's got to get old, having to force news all the time like they do there.
David Spade almost didn't. He was almost the first celebrity casualty of 2017.
Oh, really? I wouldn't have had him on my list.
His luxury SUV got destroyed after he got smashed by another vehicle on Sunset Boulevard. He was heading to dinner on Wednesday when he took a left turn at a very busy intersection in front of the Beverly Hills Hotel, one of the most dangerous in town, and an oncoming car sped up to beat the yellow light and collided with his Range Rover. Airbags deployed. His ride spun into another car, and one of his rear tires went flying about 100 Jesus. Feet. Law enforcement sources tell us there were minor injuries, but no one was transported to the hospital. But looking at the photo, he's lucky. He's lucky. And finally, I don't know if you would think Justin Bieber. If I said responsible pet owner or not responsible.
Oh, not responsible. No way.
You'd be right. He palmed off his sick dog on a friend who's now trying to scrounge up $8,000 for a life-saving operation for the puppy. In August last year, Bieber proudly introduced his new little fluffball Todd to his fans on Instagram. Later, he posted a video of the animal wondering, "How are you real?" And apparently the infatuation passed. He adopted it and dismissed a monkey, a hamster, and a snake, and now a dog. Todd,
who got the monkey?
Has no luck. And has a long shot. By the time he turns one, he won't be able to walk. And Bieber said, that doesn't sound like that much fun. So he pawned him off on a buddy.
I wanted the monkey.
Yeah. The monkey got taken away, I believe.
Oh, yeah, that's right. I remember that. And now he just hangs out with...
It's too late to say sorry, Justin. You gave away your sick dog.
All right. That's going to wrap it up, mercifully. Come see us tomorrow. Saloon Door Brewery in Webster. We'll be doing the show live. Till then, stay sporty, bitches. I'm sorry now.
ESPN 97.5.